Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. My name's Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Before I start, listeners should note that the following interview contains discussions about trauma as it relates to hashtag MeToo. The work of director Ruth Cordelli regularly appears at the Queer Screen Mardi Gras Film Festival, with her previous films Eva and Candela and Leading Ladies both screening at the festival. Her latest film, Same Again, makes its world premiere at the festival on 25th of February 2025. Same Again is an improvised drama that follows a Colombian theatre troupe who joined together to bring the play La Casa de Bernarda Alba, alternatively known as The House of Bernarda Alba, by Federico Garcia Lorca to life on screen. This play follows the impact of men upon women, which then becomes a textual point within Same Again, as one of the guiding forces behind this stage appearance is a man. Same Again deals with the impactful themes of trauma, showing the power of coercion and control that takes place from a foundational aspects of putting on a play, as we see in some of the intense and controlling audition sequences, which force actors to put themselves into vulnerable situations, to the final performance. Throughout the play, the actors each expose their own vulnerabilities, insecurities, and exposure to their own past traumas. What results is a narrative that delves into male-created trauma, all the while giving agency back to those who have experienced pain. In the following interview, recorded ahead of the film's world premiere at Queer Screen on 25th of February 2025, Ruth talks about the foundational work of the film, what it means to be able to give space to trauma on screen, and about her work with longtime partner Silvia Santamaria. Queer Screen continues its cinematic run until 27th of February 2025, so you've got plenty of time to head along and catch a film in a cinema before this year's festival heads online for the on-demand section of the festival, which runs Australia-wide from 28th of February to the 10th of March 2025. For all details, visit queerscreen.org.au. And if you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and you have the means to support us, then please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to support our work from as little as $1 a month. Here's the trailer for the Queer Screen Film Festival, followed by my interview with Ruth Cordelli. I know that your films are regularly screened at Queer Screen in New South Wales, Sydney. What does it mean to be able to screen your films in a place like Australia, having an Australian audience engage watching your work?
For me, it's amazing to screen at festivals like Queer Screen because we've made this film like at the other part of the world, so it's amazing that different audiences, diverse audiences, can watch the film. So for me, it's very very interesting because with the previous films, we've got so much like reviews, comments, and I think that's amazing because your film can travel through the world, so it's amazing.
While they're not in English, there is still a universal language of cinema, right? And so people can understand and approach them all in the same way.
That's true. And that it's amazing because it's a film that was made in a very specific context, and it's so cool that an English speaking audience can get it and understand it and just feel it in their own way.
I mean, that's kind of what I want to start talking about, is the sense that this is such an interesting film. It feels like a documentary, yet it also feels like a scripted feature as well. And it's playing with the function and form of cinema in a really fascinating way. But then you're also playing with the function and form of theatre in a fascinating way as well. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that work of playing with art and being able to explore it on screen that way?
For me, one of the most interesting parts of making films is working with actors. So the combination of theater is like an exploration or a place that I like to like travel to be in. So that was, it made sense when we were creating this this kind of special movie, that there were a group of people that were dealing with some stuff. When I talk with the actors and the actresses, we say, what do these people do for a living? And we said, I think it makes sense that they are creating a theater play, also because the movie is based on real experiences of the of all of the women involved in the movie, especially the actresses. So it made sense that we like stay in this context, because it's there in theater and acting world, there are so many like cases of abuse, and we wanted to like just speak louder, and it made sense to just keep it in a context that we really knew and needed.
I mean, that's the thing. It is, you're speaking about something that is a global experience, like we were talking about with cinema, is a global experience. And the impact of abuse in the arts has been something that's really quite a prominent thing, maybe more on an American landscape, but hasn't really been, at least in Australia, discussed on a wider scale. And I'm hoping that you might be able to explain or discuss the importance in being able to give space to these kinds of stories on screen, and allowing people to come to it with their own either history, their past, or understanding that it's not just America that this is taking place in.
Yeah, I think it's essential because America has like a I don't know how to say it, but like a bigger speaker and cases that came out of, thanks to the Me Too movement. There were like worldwide, new worldwide. So, but other countries, and in this case Colombia, where the film was made, has also cases, a lot of cases, in fact, too many cases of abuse in the world of arts. And I think it's essential to use art as well to speak loud, to say it out loud. I mean, if we don't name it, it's like it doesn't exist. So thanks to this like big American and global movement, we have now the space to speak in other place, in other context, in other countries, in other spaces. And I think it's very important, because it's not only an American thing or a Hollywood thing. It's not only happening on cinema. It's also happening in theater. It's also happening in acting schools, in music schools or dance schools, or in other contexts around the art.
And I think one of the most pointed things and the powerful thing that you present is that it's not just in the final product, in the stage or on screen, but it starts at the audition process. Like you really document from the audition process, that's when the possibility of abuse can commence, and all the way to the final stage as well. And even after the theatre show or the film has been released, these kinds of things emerge. That's really distressing to see. Can you talk through the process of bringing those particular scenes to life on screen?
It was very difficult because, as I was saying, all these different kinds of abuses that are shown on the film happened to the actresses of the film. We spoke about some of the cases that they have and other friends that we had, and then I mixed it and give it to different actresses. But it was very hard when we shot, because they were so very real experiences. So they were very moved because they say, oh my God, that is happening to us, and we just normalize it. For instance, in the casting process, that's a thing that it's hard to say, but it's not an off-topic thing. I mean, it's something that happens most of the time. When they experience that on the movie, they say, oh my God, that happened to me in real life, and I didn't know that was wrong. And it was like a kind of a, I don't know how to say, but they realized, or they just like understood things through the experiences when we were shooting with the movie. But we wanted to like express that there are very different kind of abuses that are normalized in the casting process, but also at home, also at street. I mean, it's everywhere, but we just don't see it.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Is that it's the opportunistic way that an abuser might take, opportunities or advantage of somebody in their most vulnerable moments. And that's what I really appreciate about the presentation of those vulnerable moments. You're vulnerable in audition because you want the job, you want the role, you want to work.
You're going to do whatever they ask you to.
And that doesn't make it right, and that's what the presentation of it there. And then you're vulnerable in a relationship, you're vulnerable on stage, and it's this presentation of vulnerability which is such a complex thing, and it means different things to different people. And you talk about that with the actresses having their own personal stories, but I'm curious then for you as a writer, as a director, and somebody who brings this story to life, what does it mean to be able to create space for vulnerability to exist?
I love to create vulnerability spaces because it's what I think it's what I enjoy the most, because it's at least it's the cinema that I'm interested in. I enjoy like entertainment I don't know, action movies and stuff, but I prefer to see or to create like little moments of life. That's what I am interested in cinema, to capture this vulnerability, this to be able to just like shoot a little piece of life. So I think vulnerability is essential for our lives.
I want to then talk about the play that they're putting on as well, The House of Bernarda Alba. Why did you choose that particular play as a reference point for them to work from?
Because I think it's one of them. I am Spanish, it's one of the most interesting plays that I ever read or seen, because it captured very well the relationship between women, the way that they keep secrets between each other, the way that they like some of them are silenced, and also because what Lorca means to Spanish context or Spanish history. So for me it was like kind of a metaphor of what we were like portraying in the movie.
And for those who might not be familiar with the play, I'm not sure if it's really one that Australians might be too familiar with. Can you talk about what the narrative of it is? And I understand it's, as you're mentioning, it's quite an important, powerful one. But what's the narrative so we can go into it with that in mind?
It's about a family that has a mother and some daughters that they, I don't know the word or the verb is fight, but they like struggle with some familiar issues because of the idea of the presence of a man. Everything that they are dealing with, it's like just touch with the presence of a man. They fight because a man. They keep secrets between each other because of this man, and they don't realize that they have each other, and they have more powerful relationships between them than the one that they have with this man. So that for me it's very interesting. I mean, I just summarize it very fast and very bad. If Lorca just listen to me, it would be but I don't know, he wouldn't like it. But I mean, it's like a kind of a summarize.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The reason why I ask is there's a line where it's, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it feels like you felt you had the right to rip off a part of me, which feels like a very, it speaks to the power of the patriarchy, right? And that's what the dialogue does. That's what these characters do. But that line in particular carries so much weight. And it's the ownership of that some men feel that they have over women's bodies or, you know, women's lives. Mm-hmm. Exploring that on screen is important. Yeah.
I think one of the most interesting things for me about the movie, it's, for instance, this powerful sentence, it came from improv. I mean, the whole movie was improvised, because they didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew the relationship between each other, and then they arrived to different places, to a cafe, to the theater rehearsal place, to an apartment, and things started to happen. I was sending them WhatsApp messages saying, okay, you're going to do this, or you're going to tell him this, or to tell her that. And they were discovering things as they were happening, like in real life. And this kind of, for me, it's very powerful because the movie has very strong sentences that when I watch it now, it seemed like they were written, but they didn't. They came from what the actress was feeling at that moment. And for me, it's very powerful. I think you can't write that. I mean, it's something that you have to be living on that moment. That's because I have an amazing cast. So we can play, and we were able to create these moments because they were so into the movie.
Which leads me to my last question, which is about your collaborative work with Silvia Santamaria. I know that you've done a few films with them. What's it like building up a body of work together?
We are like a creative couple. I mean, she's my wife, and we were creating things through, I don't know, as I have forever. I mean, like forever. We met when we were at film school, and then she studied acting, and it made sense to create together. I mean, it's my ideal partner to create. So I can imagine a movie like this without her.
I feel that on screen. I feel this communication, this correspondence that you're having with one another. It's quite powerful. So thank you. Yeah.
we don't have to speak. I mean, I know when we were doing something, I know that she's just into it. So she's going to be 100% there. So it's amazing because it makes the work so much easier.
Well, you've made a fascinating, intriguing, powerful film. So you've got a lot to be proud of. Thank you, Ruth, for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the interview, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to this chat with Ruth Cordelli, whose latest film, Same Again, has its world premiere at Queer Screen on 25th of February 2025. Visit queerscreen.org.au for more details. Links are in the show notes. And for everything related to The Curb, visit thecurb.com.au. I'll see you on the next one.